Good afternoon. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Inner West Local Planning Panel of the 14th of March 2023. Before starting, I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners of this land, the Gadigal and Wangal people of the Eora Nation, whose country we are meeting on today and whose elders, both past and present, we respect. We certainly acknowledge those persons. Next item I'd like to deal with is declarations of interest, and we have all of our panel except one have indicated they don't have any conflicts of interest. However, there is one, and that is Jan Morrell. Jan, would you just like to make a comment about your conflict?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I will not participate in item number three, as I have a perceived non-significant, non-pecuniary interest in that matter, as I only noticed that one of the objectors is known to me, so I will not participate in any discussion or any decision-making on that one. Thank you.
And thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, what we will do in today's proceedings is to hear from everyone, and then we will go into camera to make the determinations. But before doing that, I'd just like to say that as we're still operating post-COVID conditions, we have carried out our inspections separately, and we've had the benefit of a very detailed briefing from council officers. Can I also say that we've read the many submissions that have been lodged on the applications before us that we're dealing with, and we've considered those. So those people who propose to address the panel, can I assure you that more is not necessarily better. Please don't repeat what the previous speaker has said. And on the first item, I've had a request for an additional two speakers, and I'll deal with that when we get to that item. Before moving forward, I'd like to introduce you to the panel, and I'll start being the chairman. My name's Gary Shields. I'm a planner and urban designer and traffic engineer. I have experience both in the private sector and indeed working for councils. I have been chairman of a number of panels, indeed still am, and I have had a considerable amount of experience in local government. Can I ask Jan to introduce herself?
Thank you, Chair. Jan Morrell. I've been a planner for over 40 years, and my last full-time commissioner position before retiring was Commissioner Land and Environment Court for 14 years. Prior to that, I held senior positions in state and local government and private practice. And now my only role is to sit on independent planning panels or chair them as such. Thank you.
Thank you, Jan. John. John McEnany.
John's frozen by the looks of things.
Right. On a day like this. Andrea. Can you introduce your good self?
Sure, Gary, thank you. My name is Andrea Connell, and I'm a community representative on the panel. And my background is educational leadership and school communities, including fairly extensive experience in school amenities, buildings, planning, particularly in public schools. And I've been a secondary school principal for over 25 years.
Thank you. Have we been able to connect John McEnany?
He's not there at the moment, Gary.
Right. Perhaps I can introduce him. John has been a director of a planning consultancy for many years, Prior to that, he was a director of planning at the Sydney City Council. Prior to that, he was director of planning at Melbourne City Council. He's a well-respected planner, life member of FIA, and he holds the qualifications as both a planner and an architect. And we look forward to him joining us shortly. Just for the record, other than Jan, no one else has any declarations of interest? Andrea?
No, none at all.
And John didn't declare any earlier. Can I then ask Jan to leave us, and I propose to deal with item 3 on the agenda.
I'll leave right now, and you need a quorum of 3, so you'll have to wait for John to get back, but I'll leave right now. Thank you.
Right, we do too. Thank you. Oops.
Gary, it's Stav here. I've just spoken to John and he's trying to join now, so it shouldn't be too long.
Right, okay. I'm just going to pause the people who might address the panel. And I see John Callow as the first person on the list. John, I'm just going to ask you to pause for a moment until we have Mr. McInerney back with us. And it's interesting because I was the one with the computer glitches earlier. Computers are great when they're working. No sign of him yet?
I'm in that.
Stav? I heard a voice then.
Sorry, Gary, yes, John's joining now.
Yes, I'm in. Thanks, Gary. Sorry.
Oh, good. I've given your qualifications and skills, etc. I hope you don't mind. And we're on item 3 and Jan has left us. And we've just been waiting for you to have our quorum. We've got Mr. John Gallo presenting to us first. And Mr. Gallo, can I ask you to stay to 3 minutes?
And yes, certainly.
Present your key items, if you'd be so kind.
Thank you, sir. Chair. Can you hear me clearly?
Absolutely, clear as a bell.
Yes, thank you.
Members of the panel, the Council's recommendation to approve this DA fails to give sufficient weight to the 29 objections from neighbours. One of our main concerns is the bulk excavation of a sandstone hillside within the Balmain East Conservation Area. The Leichhardt DCP Section C17 states, quote, cutting into stone walls or into rock faces is to be avoided, unquote. In C1.19, quote, the excavation of rock faces, rocky outcrops, escarpments, cliff faces, or steep slopes may only be granted development consent in specific limited circumstances. In the DA's waste management plan, the volume of excavation was approximately 1,000 cubic metres. This would be removed and transported through the narrow streets of Balmain. Only small trucks can access the site, so over 500 truck movements would be required, leading to major disruption to local traffic. We ask that a construction traffic management plan, or CTMP, be provided by a qualified expert. We are talking about a bulk excavation that would remove 2,500 tonnes of rock from a hillside above adjacent properties to provide no more than one additional car space. We ask that the extent of excavation be limited to that required to provide a car space, namely 3 by 6 by 2.8 cubic metres. The geotech investigation with the DA states, quote, excavations of bedrock within 6 metres of adjoining dwellings are to be undertaken with care, recognising the potential for damage to adjacent properties. The assessment report states that excavation would be as close as 2.9 to 3.5 metres from the eastern boundary and just 0.45 metres at the proposed garage entry. We ask that the proposed excavation be 6 metres or more away from adjoining properties. Saw cutting can reduce horizontal vibration. However, our properties lie below the proposed excavation so that neither vibration nor noise would be mitigated. A number of our residents work from home. Work and video conferencing would be impossible during the proposed excavation, even with windows closed. If we wanted to open our windows, silica dust would be a significant health risk for silicosis. We ask for an independent dust control plan to be included. Finally, we ask also that the proposed pavilion extension be removed from the plan for the following four reasons and replaced with underground access to the main dwelling. One, it would alter the eastern facade of the heritage listed building. It would also impact neighbours' amenity by 2, obstructing views, and 3, impacting privacy. On page 67 of the assessment report, a neighbour outlines concerns about their view over water and significant landmarks. Council says that such views are highly valued and that, quote, there may be some impacts to the limited amount of water views by the proposed pavilion. One of our neighbours has objected regarding their privacy, quote, the proposal has additional skylights and windows to the stairwell, which will overlook our backyard. Our rear bedroom window is at a similar level to the development, meaning a straight line of sight into our bedroom, unquote.
Excuse me, Chair, that's 3 minutes.
Just one sentence, please. Fourthly, yes. The pavilion construction would encroach more than 10% on the structural root zone of a dominant canopy tree on the northern boundary. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Mr. Goa. The second speaker that we have on this same item is Mr. Kenneth Glover. Mr. Glover, could you state your name and address, please? Are you there, Mr. Glover?
I am now, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. Can you hear me now?
I can indeed, sir.
Right. Thank you. First of all, there's 29 objections lodged to this latest DA. This has to tell you something. The applicant already has a four-car garage, in addition, a double driveway to accommodate at least one more vehicle. That's a total of 5 vehicles. The applicant refers to 2 dwellings on the property. However, as per the previous issued occupancy certificate, it was approved a consolidation of 2 lots into 1, therefore 1 driveway crossing per lot. Importantly, there's a loss of 1 to 2 car spaces for Nooks Avenue, public parking. This is used extensively by the public for easy access to the ferry and bus services and parents picking up and dropping off children in Nicholson Street School. The extensive disruption and inconvenience to the surrounding residents over a projected 9 months period is very worrying. Most importantly, the planned project contravenes many points contained in the Inner West Development Control Plan. John has outlined some of them, but again, preserving the integrity of the escarpment, avoid cutting, additional driveway crossings are discouraged. There's general objectives about reducing car dependency in the area. The control plan is written for a reason, and it lays out strict controls elsewhere than elsewhere on the peninsula. So it encourages the use of public transport. Again, this DA is contrary to the guidelines. This part of Nooks Avenue is also the worst part of Nooks Avenue. You could put an exit, and that's why I'd encourage further on-site evaluation. On this point, kindly note also, there is currently a submission with council from a majority of residents in the area to make this part of Nooks Avenue, I'm referring to the top part, a one-way street from the top of Nicholson Street to the Gallimore Avenue intersection. There are frequently problems with traffic flow. We have also taken the opportunity to brief the elected state member for Balmain and the independent councillor on the Inner West Council on the merits of this DA. We came away with a distinct impression that both these elected members were of the opinion that the application contravened the Inner West Development Control Plan. I therefore encourage the members of the panel to discuss this with the elected officials to get their take on the application. Finally, We've commenced, in our own situation, we've commenced babysitting our 11-month grandson a couple of days a week while his mother works upstairs in her career. It would prove impossible to carry out these two functions so close to a noisy, dirty construction site over a 9-month period. And finally, the next door neighbour closest to the construction site and most impacted teaches and records music from his house at number 9 Looks Avenue. Again, impossible to pursue his career at this location for an extended period. Thank you for the invitation to address the panel.
Thank you. You're at number 7A, so could you tell us where that is? It's basically
directly across the road from the planned exit of the garage. Yeah,
I thought it was. Thank you. Any questions of either of the last two speakers from the panel? If not, thank you. I'll move on to the next person on our list, Ms. Rochelle Porteous. Are you there, madam?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but I can't see you.
There you are. I can see you.
Yes, right.
And I'm visual. Can you see me now?
Yes, indeed. Yes. I can.
Okay. Okay, hello. Thank you for allowing me to address the panel. Yes. Thank you for allowing me to address the panel. I'm speaking on behalf of the Eastgate Building Residents, which is 9 Nicholson Street, Balmain East. We're extremely concerned about the loss of parking space, which is currently in use by the construction of this garage and driveway. The parking demand on the East Balmain Peninsula significantly exceeds the number of parking spaces available on the public roads. This has been well documented in the Inner West Council Balmain East Precinct parking study conducted by GTA consultants on behalf of the Inner West Council in 2020. A copy was attached with my original submission. So severe is the unmet demand for parking spaces in East Balmain that engineers actually recommended removing the right to on-street parking permits to a number of local residents. They got pushback and that didn't proceed, but it shows just how significant parking demand is. Now, the traffic engineers have flagged that the space proposed can be removed from public use because it's not an ideal parking space with some conflict with the driveway across the road. Well, the reality is many, many parking spaces on the East Balmain are similarly compromised. The streets are narrow, the place is all heritage. We have commuters for the ferry, school parking, residents. Most of us have very little on-site parking. Each parking space is important, valued, and contested. So every time we park, we pay a lot of attention, we're very careful, and we're always aware of the fact that there's the potential of conflict. However, I note there has never been, to our knowledge, an accident that's been recorded in this particular parking spot. It has been there for a long time. It is regularly in use, and it's very similar to many other compromised parking spots in Balmain. It should not be removed from the use of the public. It should not be effectively privatised, which is what happens when you put a garage and a driveway there. And then there's no right forever, every other dwelling, there's no right that exists for any dwelling in East Balmain, in Rozelle, on the peninsula, anywhere in the Leichhardt LGA to have their own driveway and their own garage. So that's the first point. The second point is about the impact of the pool area, particularly the pergola. The pool is unfortunately in a very bad location for the Eastgate residents. There's a significant echo which impacts on and creates very significant noise pollution. We've had to live with that for years. The concern we have with any further intensification of the pool area with the construction of the pergola will further impact on the noise pollution which we live with day and night, because there's obviously no limit on the use of that site. It's an open site. Most of us have our bedrooms located there because I have my own, in my own apartment, our two bedrooms immediately look over the pool area. So we would ask, we have to live with the pool, but please don't further intensify the use of the site with the construction of the pergola, which will make the situation even worse for us and potentially have, you know, late night barbecues or different things going on there, which we have no control over. We want people to enjoy their lives, but really when we can't sleep for night after night after night, it becomes quite difficult.
Chair, that's 3 minutes.
Could you finish up now?
Please? Okay, the final point, I just want to make the point about we need to see more significant deep root trees being planted on the site. They were there before, they've all been removed, they were never replaced, and it is a real loss to the local area. Thanks.
Thank you so much. We've got two other objectors that have been told that we've reached our quota. And I'll just ask if they're online. One's David Sharp, the other's Matthew Toohey. Are they with us today?
I am online, Mr. Chair, but it's Matthew Toohey, but I don't need to speak. I think the points I was going to raise have been covered by previous speakers. Thank you.
Thank you. And David Sharp, are you there, David Sharp? Well, thank you, Matthew. And David, you're not here, so it doesn't matter. But I'm sure that your issues have been addressed by other speakers previously. Can I then move on to speakers for the applicant? And the first person that I have is Mr. Graham Brooks. Mr. Brooks, are you there? Mr. Brooks? Right. Last call. Mr. Brooks, are you there? I'll move on to the second speaker for the applicant. Sharon Gallant, are you there?
Recording in progress.
Mr. Brooks,
can you hear us now?
There's Mr. Brooks.
How are you, sir? I understand that actually we're speaking to item two and not item three.
Echoing. I'm aware item three. Just come on. Dave meeting.
Sorry, which
maybe out of sequence.
Sorry, which address are you speaking on, Graham?
Looks Avenue, 4-6 Looks Avenue.
It's item three, and you're on now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I'll let Ms. Sharon, the owner, speak first, if I might.
Certainly. You're both listed to speak, so whoever would like to go first, as long as you contain yourself to 3 minutes, that'd be greatly appreciated by the panel. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chairman. I would just like to start by saying thank you to the planning team at Inner West Council for their assessment of our development application. We have worked diligently with council's staff over a long period of time, and what we have here today is an application that is fully compliant across all controls, assessment criteria, provisions, and objectives. I'd like to thank council for their diligence during the assessment process, and I hope the panel supports the recommendation here today. There's just one item that I think may have been an oversight. I have one proposed amendment, if I can raise that, please. And that would be that it seems that council's standard conditions for construction hours have been left out of the report. If the panel is happy for those to be included, we'd like to see those included here today.
Thank you for that, Mr. Brooks.
Thank you, Chair. I'm here basically to answer questions should the panel have any, but I might just note that GBA Heritage has been involved with this project from the very beginning. I refer the panel to the officer's report regarding heritage issues, which is between pages 61 and 64, and I note that my mitigation recommendations at page 62 are now essentially expressed in the conditions of consent 30, 31, and 32. Otherwise, we're available for questions.
Does any of the panel have questions of either of the last two speakers?
No.
No. Thank you.
I do, taking you out of your discipline, Mr. Brooks. But there was a suggestion that there's 2,500 tonnes of rock that's got to be taken out of the site. Do you, are you in a position to be able to comment on that?
No, I'm not, Chairman. I think that's obviously been dealt with by the officers quite carefully.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, thank you both for your attendance, and we're pleased that you we got our numbers sorted out as to which item we're on. Long time no see, Mr. Brooks.
Indeed, it's indeed good to see all of you. Thank you.
Can I move then on to the next item? Oh, I should just say to all of the speakers on that item, as you, as it was pointed out by one of the objectors speakers correctly, there's a number of submissions that have been presented to the panel, and those have been read by the panel and will be considered in detail at the conclusion of our address from the public when we when it's members of the public absent. But we'll take into account all the submissions that have come before us. So thank you for those. And the decision will be put on the website, probably not today, but if not tomorrow, the day after. So thank you all for your presentations. Moving on to item 4, 170 Denison Street, Newtown. And I just have one speaker on that, and I think it's the applicant and the owner.
Right hand side. Thank you.
Your center screen still, Mr. Brooks.
Chair, we're just getting Jan back in so you can have your full complement.
So
and also I don't know if you want to go back to item 2. Which was the first item that you missed out on because you jumped straight to item 3.
No, we don't have a speaker on item 2, do we?
No.
No, I've proposed to deal with that in our camera section. Jan, have we got you back? Hi.
Hi.
Now, there just seems to be a modicum of confusion about the spelling of your name. I notice it's spelled a couple of different ways. But for the record, can you, it's Ashley, is it? And how do you pronounce your surname, sir?
Giles.
Sorry?
Giles.
Right, thank you. And would you spell it just for the record?
Sure, it's S-H-E-I-L-E-S.
Thank you. And would you like to address the panel? Could you contain address to 3 minutes if you'd be so kind?
Certainly. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thanks to the members of the panel for allowing me to speak. The application was made by my wife and I to increase the accommodation of our 170 Denison Street in Newtown. We've got three kids, 1, 4, and 6, and it's pretty much the minimum that we need to stay within the community that we've been sort of a part of for the last 6.5-7 years. We're a bit confused on why the requests were rejected. All of our neighbours sort of in the area have seemed to have done similar or the same type of renovations successfully. The impact for us on the refusal is that we have to leave the area, if not Sydney, rising house prices and all that sort of thing. My wife and I believe that the solution is quite simple. So within the submitted plans that are part of the submission, we requested that the light well stay as designed. Council requested that we extend that light well by 1 meter at a minimum. And if we did that on the current floor plan, we would not have space for the third bedroom. So the second option would be extend the light well as per recommendation of council, but also extend the back of the floor plan by the same amount of space, 1 metre, to allow for the footprint to have the third bedroom. We're happy to accept all the other council recommendations, happy to delete the two rear windows and replace with one centrally. We're happy to ensure that the cladding is as requested. I think there's the specific colour bond shades that is recommended, and also have the finish as a weatherboard FC. We're more than happy to do that, but we really need that footprint to stay the same so that we can continue to live happily here for years to come. Thank you to the members of the panel for allowing me to speak. That's it.
And just a comment that you made. You're saying that the I know Mr. McInerney's got a question, but if I could jump in first. You're saying the recommendation put by the council officers would preclude you from having a third bedroom. Is that what you're saying, sir?
Yes, that is correct. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, sorry.
John.
Yes, Mr. Shields, as we read it, the council officers recommended in fact, I'm reading directly from their report, which I presume you've looked through. Yes. So that they suggest an extension by a minimum of 1 metre towards the rear of the light well, and the adjustment of the windows, as you referred to. They don't talk about, in this particular recommendation, the increase of the footprint, which you're obviously needing, as well as what I've already mentioned. Is that correct? Have you discussed that increase in the footprint with the officers?
I have it. The original, so this is the second DA request that we've submitted. The original did have the additional square meterage there as part of the design, and that was also refused. So this is a resubmission of the footprint that council requested, and the only way for us to fit the accommodation on was to make the light well smaller.
Right. Unfortunately, at the moment, we have only before us the plans which you submitted, so it puts us in a bit of a dilemma as to what to do. But anyway, I understand your position, and we might, in further discussions amongst ourselves with the council officers, we might find a way forward. But thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's all I have at this stage.
Thank you.
Andrea? Excuse me, Chair.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
John, was there not a way that you could see that those stairs could be reconfigured to provide for that? Would you like to just...
Yes, through you, Mr. Chair, I agree with Jan in that respect. And there are other design solutions, in my own personal opinion as an architect, that I think might solve the problem. Perhaps that's why I suggested that there may need to be further discussions between the applicant and the council officers with the input of the architect to come up with some acceptable compromise, if I could put it that way.
Andrea,
No, I'm happy with the discussion and endorse everything that's been said so far from the panel and also from Mr. Eales, which was very concise. Thank you.
Is your architect Superdraft?
Unfortunately, they are a victim of the. They're no longer. They've gone into administration. I'm in direct contact to the draftsman that did the work for me, so he can definitely amend the plans.
Right. Okay. All right.
I just say, Chair, that it may be that your new draftsman or your draftsman does discuss it with council, it would have to be the subject of a new development application. But we just don't want you to go away today thinking this is the end of the road for you, so to speak, because we do, and we as a panel can see that there is a way forward for you, and that might be new plans. But I just wanted to make that quite clear. And I think your draftsman might have thought that the staircase couldn't be reconfigured, but in our opinion, it can be. So I just wanted to add that to you, and I don't want you to go away thinking that's the end of the line. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for that, Jen. And thank you, sir. We'll deliberate over your submission and make a determination towards the end of the day. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Moving on to the next item I have is item six, and it's 45A Railway Street, Petersham. And I think I only have the applicant owner to present. Is it correct, Ruba, that we don't have any objectors on this? I think that's correct. So I'm going.
That is correct. We've only got supporters in response to this application.
Okay. And I have, is it Jody Locke? Are you there, Jody?
Yes, I'm here.
Good afternoon. Would you like to present what you'd like to say to the panel in your allocated 3 minutes? Thank you.
Thank you. I'm the co-owner of 45A Railway Street. I'd just like to thank the panel for the opportunity to speak today, even though it's a little bit daunting. Our motivation for building this is for our disabled son who lives with us. We just wanted to provide him with some assistance, but to have him close at hand because we are his carers. Our son Fergus has an autoimmune disease, and for the past 8 years he can be in bed for days, weeks and even months on end without being able to get up. So he needs a bathroom close at hand. He's had 14 surgeries in the past 24 months, so it's been a bit rough. We're just trying to give him a level of control over his life and his surroundings. At 26, he says to me regularly, he just feels like a bit of a loser, still living at home with his mum and dad. So I think the reason we're here today is because of a 5-degree roof pitch. I believe I find it really hard to see the difference from the external views, but internally it makes a huge difference for Ferg because he's 198 centimetres tall, and it's the difference between him being able to just get under the shower or being able to wash his hair under the shower. He needs that extra little bit of height. We're talking about 50 centimetres. Our great architect, Brad Schwartz, has provided 3D images that show the difference really quite clearly, and I hope that you can view these before when you're considering our submission, because I think it really shows externally the minimal difference, but internally it's a huge difference for someone of Ferg's height. In 2010, we were awarded a Marrickville Medal, which is a heritage award, for our design and build of our last house in Newtown. We love heritage buildings. That's why we bought here in Petersham and in Railway Street. And I believe that we're really respectful custodians and quite conscious of that. That's why we sought Brad Schwartz, our architect, because he'd done some lovely, sympathetic and really subtle extensions in Ultimo, in an area that is similar to ours. And it's also why we sought expert heritage advice from Jyoti Somerville. We do take it very seriously. All we want is for our son to have a good future. And we think a 45-degree pitch isn't unreasonable to ask for. I believe it sits really well within our neighbourhood, and I hope that you can see that. I'd ask the panel to grant this approval so that we can give Fergus space that's livable, and it's also tailored to his needs. I mean, we want him to have an opportunity to live his best life where he can shower and where he can wash his hair in a space that we feel will live and have a great life, and we can support him. And I hope that you can help us do that. So, yeah, thank you for your consideration and your time.
Just a recap. How tall did you say your son was? 198?
Yes.
Or 196?
198.
190.
Yeah.
Very tall lad.
Yeah, a lot of his friends are that sort of height as well. I feel very small. I'm only 5'6", so I don't know how he's mine. I really don't. But it's, you know, I think kids these days, even my daughter is a lot taller, and my husband, I mean, you know, I think kids are getting taller, and we want this lovely space to be future-proof.
Thank you for your compelling submission.
Can I just ask one question, Chair? How long have you lived there, Jodie?
We bought here 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, we moved from Newtown, where we had that place that was condemned when we bought it 30 years ago, for 30 years, and we brought that back to life, and we're very proud of that Marrickville medal. We hope we can do so here too.
So the second dwelling that's there at the moment, Jodie, was that there when you bought the property?
Yeah, it's meant to be a three-car garage, but it's not deep enough to fit a car in. So I don't really know what it ever was for. But yeah, it's always been there.
And does Fergus live at the moment in the main part of the house? Or I see.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And a question for me, Jodie, that your original submission from the architect Swartz had the roof going right across, as I understand. Could you describe the way in which you actually amended that original?
Yeah, absolutely. We've done a lot, John. We actually initially wanted him to have an outdoor area upstairs, because as much as you can say, oh, he's got the outdoor area downstairs, sometimes he can't get out of bed. So he could maybe be taken to the upstairs outdoor deck area that we first initially proposed. But with council suggesting that that was something they had concerns with, we took it off altogether. And we took away all the, we put in dormer windows, which were requested, rather than full glass up the top. Because really I was just trying to give him as much light as possible, because he can be in that bedroom for, you know, months on end without being able to move. So we wanted to make it as nice as possible. Sorry, I'll get emotional. We just want to make it as nice as possible for him when he's stuck in bed.
Thanks. Thanks, Gary.
Thank you, Joel. Any other questions before we? We also hearing from Jodie Somerville, are we?
Yes, that's right. That's me, Jodie Somerville.
Jodie, thank you, Jodie.
That's right, yes. I have just submitted a single page, which I hope everyone has got. So that's basically the scope of my submission.
And you're a supporter.
I'm the heritage specialist that yes. John and Jodie asked to come in. After they had received the written advice from council about their initial DA submission, and they were requested to make a number of changes, and the topic of heritage was used in council's response, written response. So they knew of me. So I said, yes, I'd be happy to assist them. So I was engaged as the heritage expert on this job in January 2023 to provide the specialist advice and written response to the heritage issues that were formally raised by Inner West Council in their written report to the initial DA submission. And then I was commenting on the extent to which the amended DA mitigated the identified impacts which were commented on. These dealt with, I think, Mr. Chairman, you were alluding to this, removing the former outdoor courtyard and making a hip roof at first floor level, replacing larger vertical windows with dormers, and generally making the design more compact. I reviewed the heritage-related issues that were identified in Council's report under the title Heritage, And I also looked at the amended drawings. I looked all through the site, the existing building, which you couldn't park even, I think, a Volkswagen in. And I inspected the setting for several streets around. I have 42 years of experience in heritage conservation, including up to 13 years as heritage advisor to a number of heritage councils. So I'm sort of familiar with the issues, and I looked at the context as a particular concern. And I looked at both the early historic development and new infill development. A sample of images are appended to the report if you would like to see them. I confirmed that the amended DA proposal satisfied the issues, the three main heritage issues identified on 7th December 2022, to which Council requested to reduce the physical and visual bulk and scale, and to, quote, provide a traditional roof form and pitch. These are also summarised in your papers in the application history section, item 6, 4B, page 236 of your minutes. Note, these requirements were defined in terms of performance specifications in keeping with the wording and approach of the relevant DCP clauses. The first mention of the preference for the 40-degree pitch over the 45-degree pitch was reported to me verbally by the architects as coming in an email, which was part of a chain between the architect and planner. This, however, had not been written about. Verbal advice noted that the 45 degrees was not a, quote, traditional pitch. I asked what they meant by traditional pitch, as that term has no specific meaning in heritage terminology, but I thought council may have a specific context within which they would explain that. No specific heritage reason was given, i.e. it's not a historical reinstatement, it's not part of a matching row. So nothing was given to the applicant supporting this claim. My previous heritage assessment in the context of this verbal advice to the architect noted that given the variety of traditional hipped and gabled roof forms and varying pitches throughout the surrounding areas, the form of the proposed new roof, which fulfilled the performance specifications in council's formal notes, was found to be both compatible with and sympathetic to its context. Indeed, the least successful of new infill developments cited in the immediate vicinity were those with inadequate pitches or the extremely more awkward juxtapositions of non-traditional roof forms, such as number 53 Railway Street, which is a few sites up further up the lane and fronts the same lane. Council records show this development was approved in 2016 under the same planning controls, but I am certainly not apologising for it, and I do not think that the current development is in any way, shape or form of a similar core quality design. I also refer to the fact that loft structures over garages require bulk and scale not to be dominant, and that this performance standard is, I believe, suitably met in the current amended DA. We also note that Leichhardt DCP 2013, which is not necessarily applicable to this site, is in the Inner West LGA, and has similar built forms and does show some graphic controls for laneway buildings within the overall envelope of a 45-degree pitch. In conclusion, I do not believe there is an identifiable or supportable heritage case to be made for discriminating against the proposed 45-degree pitch roof.
Excuse me, Chair, that's functional
necessity.
Could you conclude there, please?
Careful architectural design and sympathetic relationship to its setting. Full stop. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions of the panel?
No, thank you.
Not from me.
No, thanks.
I've just got one or two, if I may. Firstly, yes, do you have an appreciation of how much higher the roof would be if it if it were either 40 or 45 degrees?
The architectural drawing shows in strict elevation there would be, I work in millimetres, but as Jody said, 50 centimetres or 500 millimetres in the highest point.
Right.
Once you look at that from street level, particularly from not even the laneway and the cross street level in particular, you are well below it and you have a hipped roof sloping up towards it.
And
so
you're jumping the gun on you there. The second question was going to be, and from a heritage point of view, would you see any adverse impacts if it was approved in its current form, or any lesser impacts if it was approved in its proposed form?
No heritage impacts whatever.
Okay.
And I've written that under my signature.
Under your signature, yes. Thank you. Any last chance? Any questions from the panel? I'm sorry.
Can I just say too that in my field of work, I am now working with people of heritage buildings to upgrade their roof drainage systems to larger capacity roof drainage systems because we are having different rain episodes. I think, as Jody said, I'm from the short side of my family, my particular family, and all my relatives are growing. And statistically, it is clearly demonstrated that the next generation are larger, both in bulk and weight and height. So I think that to be building new structures that are so penny-pinching is not meeting the requirements of heritage for the future. So I'll just get that out there. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll deliberate over your comments and in light of the council officer's report at the end of the public meeting. And there'll be a decision tomorrow and on the website, probably the day after. So thank you for your submission. I'll move on to the next item, if I may. And it's item 7. And I've got a Mr. Alan Jensen, I think, who wants to present to us.
Yes, I'm online. Can you hear me?
We can hear you loud and clear, sir.
Okay, so I've got my 3 minutes.
You've got your 3 minutes of economic sunshine, hopefully.
Good on you. Okay, so my name's Alan Jensen. I'm the owner of the neighbouring property to the north of number 12 Folkart Street. And together with my wife, we've owned that property for 30 years. And I have a number of objections, but I'm going to summarise them. I've submitted a one-page giving the panel a summary of my key points, so I don't want to go...
No, we've seen that. Thank you.
Read them. You've got that.
Thank you.
But there are a few things that I just want to bring your attention to. One is the loss of privacy. The council has mentioned part of this, but a piece that they missed was one of the first floor bedrooms has two windows, one facing north and one facing south, that have clear glass slats as the window. And that obviously overlooks our private open space at number 116 Folkart Street, which is a neighbouring property. There is no 14 Folkart Street in that street. So if this proposal goes ahead, I would suggest and I would request that those two particular windows be obscure glass and fixed windows so that they can't be opened to overlook our private open space. Second thing is the bulk and scale of the property at the back. So when you come out our back kitchen area onto the private open space courtyard, this proposal would mean that we would be looking at a 4 metre high wall almost immediately on our boundary line from the back door, which is quite an imposing sight. And in the revised plans that were submitted, I think in December, That wall is now 200 millimetres off the boundary line. It was actually on the boundary line, so it's 200 millimetres off the boundary line, which obviously is not going to work too well because it'll just fill up with rubbish being between a retaining wall and the new fence. So the bulk and scale issue is of concern to me. Third thing is the loss of adjoining amenity. So at the moment, from two of the windows of our dwellings, or the dwelling there, you can actually get city views. Well, those views are going to be removed with this particular dwelling that's been proposed. And frankly, I don't know how they're going to maintain it, because with the proximity to the boundary line, I don't know how they're going to maintain the wall or clear out the guttering. It's just without getting access to our courtyard to do those jobs. One of the main issues for me, though, is this retaining wall, and I've mentioned it once or twice already. There's quite a substantial retaining wall on the northern boundary of this property, and I'm very nervous about a building very close to that retaining wall, because a retaining wall needs air circulation in order to maintain the, or you know, to dry it out, to keep it dried out, as opposed to it'll just get moisture, build up of moisture, and weaken the retaining wall if it doesn't get an airflow. But in addition, at the bottom of the retaining wall, the application proposes a range of stormwater pipes and other sort of drainage pipes, which means that they're going to have to dig out at the bottom of the toe wall, the base of the retaining wall, which to me will weaken the retaining wall, if not weaken it during construction, certainly with settlement after construction.
Excuse me, Chair, that's 3 minutes.
Yeah. And lastly, if I can, is the WestConnex tunnels directly underneath this site, and I have seen no report on the impact of the tunnelling on either the construction or post-construction.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they are my points, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Thank you, sir. The next speaker I have is Mr. Mark James, also an objector.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to address the panel. I live in 16 Folkart Street, and I have a few concerns about the scale of the development taking place in 12 Folkart Street.
Is that the units there, sir?
Yes, the units, yes. Yeah. I'm in the units, one of the units there. And they go back about 40 years, I think, when they were constructed. But I won't go over everything that Alan said, but the side boundary setbacks to me are a bit of a concern. Alan's talking about that 200 metre setback. I think it should be 1.8 metres really, and that's quite a large block 12. I can't see any reason why in the design of the place they could not actually have more space at the side boundaries to accommodate access to maintenance and repair, and also that would alleviate privacy concerns for the neighbours as well, and that doesn't seem to be considered. The floor space ratio has decreased in the amended plans to 0.93 to 1, okay, which still is above the control plan guidelines of 0.8 to 1. So really they're trying to squeeze as much as they possibly can into the available space that they've got. So I think that needs to be looked at. And basically when you're looking at parking in the area, that is absolutely nothing being provided for a duplex except one parking space. Now the rear lane in our particular complex has 6 parking spaces that was allowed, and got 3 visitors parking spaces. To me, it wouldn't be much of a problem to if the actual floor space ratio was reduced and to a figure stated in the control plan guidelines of C46, a parking space should be able to be accommodated at the rear of the properties without any problem at all. Alan's mentioned about the integrity of the retaining wall. That is a concern. Excavation of the foundations for the new structure could do damage in the vicinity of the base of the retaining wall, which we have one, which goes onto our property in 6 Folkart Street. So a little bit concerned about damage that could be caused there. The geotechnical report that was actually linked with the original plan did not mention any possible damage to that retaining wall at all, which I thought was quite unusual. and didn't mention anything about the WestConnex tunnelling underneath, which is only metres beneath that particular area. And finally, the bulk and scale of the place. I think that's such a lovely area to live in. You've got to maintain those building typologies. And I think that having that rear warehouse looking bulk building at the rear of that place just takes so much away from the amenity of the from the area. And there have been changes made, I noticed in the amended plans, but I don't think it's sufficient. There needs to be more hip and gable sort of introduced to actually give it a bit of a break. That's all I have to say, and I thank you for the opportunity to speak to the panel. Thank you.
Thank you. I now have the applicant speaking, or at least the applicant's representatives. First of all, Mr. Murad, are you there?
Hello, if I may, the team's spoken with, it's possible if Paul is online, if Paul can kick off.
Mr. Rappaport, is it?
Yes.
Mr. Rappaport, are you there?
Hi. Hi. I have to excuse myself because I'm having an iron infusion. So please excuse me for being otherwise not in work attire. Anyway, I've looked at the heritage issues and I want to say that I'm concerned mainly with the moving of the sandstone retaining wall to the new position as shown in the plans. I have no issue with this because really all that's left in that front piece, if you like, is the original sandstone. So all the other fabric internally and externally is not original. As you will see, the weatherboards aren't original. The internal lining is not original, the cornices, etc. So I've identified that the key issue is that sandstone wall. And I am assured by the owner and the owner's representative that that will be faithfully conserved. And I'm sure council can condition that it is conserved properly, moved to the new position, and then recreated as a house presented to the street. And in doing so, it actually lines up with all the other houses. So there's a double positive there in the way that the architect has gone about creating that space, and I regard it as conservation. It's not demolition as council sees it. It's conservation. It's moving what is considered to be the most significant element into the new position and then recreating the presentation of the existing house in its new position, but lined up with all the other houses. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Rappaport, and get well.
Thank you.
Back to the applicant. Who would you like to speak next? Is your planner going to say something? We have Margaret Roberts listed as a speaker.
Yes. Yes. Sorry, Mr. Chair. My name is James Corrie. I'm a colleague of Margaret Roberts from Cotton Associates. And if I'm okay with the panel, I would like to address the panel on her behalf and on the applicant's behalf, if that is all right.
If you can contain yourself to 3 minutes, it's totally okay.
Try my best, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon. My name is James Corrie. I am the town planner for this application and represent the owner of the site, Ms. Morad. I'd like to begin by reiterating Paul's comments. The intent of the application is to reposition key elements and features of the site closer towards the streetscape to enhance the site's contribution to the heritage conservation area. This is achieved through repositioning key elements being the sandstone blocks and framing of the front portion of the existing dwelling. The rear extension locates the majority of the bulk of the development at the rear of the site and away from view from the key streetscape of Folkart Street. I would now like to comment about the key reasons for refusal relating to town planning aspects. At the time that the DA was lodged, the LICAR LEP was in force, which listed dual occupancy development as permissible with consent. The Inner West LEP was draft and only came into force after the DA was lodged. We received legal advice as to the permissibility and a copy of this was provided to council. The proposed dual occupancy development is permissible with consent on the site as it was saved by the savings provisions under clause 1.8A of the Inner West LEP. Concerning the development standards of the proposal, we have provided calculations for landscape area and site coverage that demonstrated that the proposal complies and therefore does not require a clause 4.6 variation. The calculations provided to council are in accordance with minimum dimensions under the LEP. The proposal provides a variation to the floor space ratio development standard as detailed in our clause 4.6 variation. The proposal provides a positive outcome for the site by bringing key elements forward to the streetscape consistent with the setbacks of adjoining properties and respects the objectives of the zone and clause 4.4. Furthermore, the majority of non-compliance is retained to the lower ground floor portion of the site and does not add substantial bulk and scale as viewed for the public domain or neighbouring sites. The proposal will be a positive outcome to the streetscape and respects the amenity of neighbouring sites in terms of solar access, visual bulk and scale, and key private open space areas. I'm now open to any questions that the panel may have. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Morrow, are you proposing to address the panel as well?
I will be, yes, Mr. Chair.
Would you like to do that now?
So if I may just quickly just address a couple of concerns mentioned earlier by occupancy number 16.
If you can contain yourself to 3 minutes, that'd be...
Thank you.
You're perfectly welcome to address whatever you like.
Just in terms of concerns, to clarify for both the chair and the neighbours, the brick retaining wall mentioned doesn't make its way all the way down to natural ground in number 12. It's in fact sitting on quite a substantial, in pockets over 2 metres, natural rock outcrop as well as sandstone walls. So that's the first point. Second, the concern regarding privacy. The only window facing number 16 is in fact a frosted glass window servicing a bathroom. So it's not what we would consider a habitable space, and therefore, apart from the fact that it is frosted, I think the concern of the occupant of the bathroom for privacy would probably be higher than the neighbour. Furthermore, lastly on that point regarding the neighbours, the rear portion initially started as a reference to a previous approval on the site. So the two-storey form to rear, and having a lot of experience in the Inner West, we've always taken that as our standard approach to allow what we like to call a chapter one, chapter two. So allow the original home to speak its story and then the chapter two speaks it. So to speak to its own time. So that's where that began, and that was a previous approval. Obviously, not carrying weight today, but it did give us a good backdrop. Lastly, the proposal itself, the movement of this, what we've identified as the most significant elements from a heritage standpoint, so very much has been the basis of this entire project, even with previous design iterations. That being said, the project itself, the proposal is looking to reinstate what was once upon a time, because this house is clad in villa board, in FC sheeting. So the proposal will be to reinstate cedar paneling. The proposal will alleviate the current fenestration issues with respect to all the glazing being things that were done over time. So the proposal brings everything back to what it should have been, or something that will in fact have a positive influence on the HCA, on the conservation area. So from our standpoint, we feel quite strongly about it. The owner is actually a relative of mine, so this has been very much a labour of love. She's lived in the area for many years and wants to stay. And it's part of her retirement plan at the end of the day, hence the two. So live in one and hopefully rent the other one out. So that's, we feel, you know, quite confident, quite strong about what we've proposed insofar as its ability to address the conservation area, and feel that it in fact does a lot more for the conservation area than what is there today. So that's all for me. And I do thank you for your time.
Thank you for your address.
If there are any questions, please.
I'll just check with the panel to see if there's any questions from any of your experts. John? John?
No, thanks. Sorry. No, thanks.
Andrew?
No, thanks, Gary.
Jan?
We have a mute.
Right, okay. There's no further questions. Thank you. We'll deliberate over your submissions in light of the report after the when we go into camera shortly, and there'll be a decision put on the website probably tomorrow or the day after. So thank you for your presentation.
Not at all. Thank you for all of your time. Cheers.
Thank you. Ruba, can we exit the